Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." If we're going to be offended at what Jesus asks of us, what hope do we have? Now, we can look back at examples like John 6 or Luke 5, and we'd say, well, of course, if Jesus told us to do something, we would do it without any hesitation, with faith that what he said to do would bless us and help us. But very often, we're resistant. Very often, we're hesitant. I mean, for the most part, we're willing to do things that Jesus asked for us that make us comfortable, that are easy for us. But when it comes to things that are difficult, when it comes to things perhaps that are not popular, maybe we're a little bit embarrassed by Jesus. When you look at the state of morality in our country, Jesus had a lot to say about morality. I mean, is it popular to say that, no, you can't just divorce and remarry for any old cause? Only for fornication did God permit such a thing. Is that popular? You look at the state of homosexuality and the way things have drastically changed in the lifetime of many of you sitting here tonight. I mean, is it popular to defend the kind of morality that Jesus teaches? There are a lot of people, when it comes to salvation, they don't want what Jesus teaches. Jesus, in his ministry, he conveyed that faith is necessary. He conveyed that repentance was necessary. There are people who don't want to repent. Repentance is hard. I don't want to change. Repentance is central to his message. Matthew summarized his work in Matthew chapter 3. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus taught that we've got to be willing to confess. We've got to be willing to openly declare our faith, to tell other people about it. And so often we're embarrassed by it. We don't want to do that. We'll talk about our faith when we're in a setting like this where there are other believers around, but when it comes to people who aren't believers, we'll just stay quiet. Jesus taught that if you want to be saved, you've got to be baptized. Nope, we don't want to deal with that. We just want to accept him into our heart as our personal Savior and say the sinner's prayer, whatever that is. I can't open my Bible and show you a sinner's prayer anywhere. My sister-in-law is a teacher in Texas, and she was having a conversation with one of her students. And Sam said, well, you know, that there isn't a sinner's prayer in the Bible. And she was shocked by that. And I told Sam, I said, well, good for you. Sow some seeds of doubt. Make her go searching a little bit. I mean, I've been studying my Bible for a very long time, and I have yet to come across the sinner's prayer. And I can show you plenty of other passages where Jesus teaches salvation. Some of the very last things he said before he ascended to the right hand of the throne of his Father were related to human salvation. What did Jesus tell the apostles to go tell everybody else? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Someone who doesn't want to be baptized doesn't really have a problem with baptism. Their problem ultimately is that they don't believe. They don't believe. If you and I want to become a disciple of Jesus, we have to have faith in his words. Thirdly, from Luke chapter 5, we learn that we receive grace by faith. Now, there are passages in the Bible that teach us this in an academic way, a more instructive way. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9 is a passage that is like that. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, the word grace means gift. It means gift. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift that is given to us by Jesus. How do you receive that gift? Well, you receive it through faith. And receiving grace through faith is not a contradiction of grace. Some would say, well, if there's something you have to do, faith has to do with believing, and believing makes you do some things. You obey the commands of Jesus. And someone says, well, if you're doing something, then aren't you earning your salvation? And if you're earning your salvation, that undermines grace. Grace, you just get it. Well, if you look here in Luke chapter 5, I think it's a great example of receiving God's grace by faith. In the passage here, there was something that Peter was told to do. He was told to let down his net. And he obeyed. He did that. Faith. He let his net down. And he started pulling it back up, and there was fish. That's a gift. That's what they had been out there trying to get. He needed help. There were so many fish. And the result was, well, he had this catch. Can only imagine the monetary value of that. I mean, that's what they did for their living. It would have been a good night for them. Good morning, anyway. Now, do you suppose when Peter retold this story, and I'm sure he retold this story, fishermen retell their stories when they catch a big catch. Do you think Peter went and told everybody about how, well, there was this one morning where we hadn't caught anything all night, and then, well, we decided we'd go out and one more time we'd give it a shot. Boy, we pulled up more fish than we knew what to do with. You think that's how he told the story? I mean, judging by the reaction was, who made that happen? Was it Peter, James, and John and their skill as fishermen? Is that what it was that made the difference? No, it was Jesus. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. That's an example of receiving grace by faith. Had Peter, James, and John not put their nets down, they wouldn't have caught anything. And instead, they would have just disobeyed what the Lord taught them to do. It might be a subtle lesson here, but I believe it can be seen by example how you and I receive God's grace by